present I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Humphrey Littleton.
Hello. Hello and welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the show that does for radio comedy what Patrick Moore does for the men's downhill slalom. There's some super talent here tonight. These audiences get younger every day. Meanwhile, would you welcome on my right Tim Brooke Taylor and Willie Rushton? And on my left, Graham Garden and Barry Cryer. And a warm welcome, please, for the young lady who keeps the score. What of is entirely her affair. Samantha. Our first game is called Good News, Bad News. I'm going to ask someone to announce a piece of good news, and the next person will give the corresponding bad news, then the next will give the good news, and so on, until either Samantha or I are overcome with excitement, and I do this. Not to be confused with this. Which means that the studio's on fire. So, Barry, will you start now?
The good news, the Russians are putting a Brit into space.
Bad news, it's not Jeffrey Archer.
The good news is that it is Robert Maxwell.
Bad news, he's going to nobble the sky satellite.
Bad news, that was.
Take it which way you want, really.
Good news, he'll succeed.
Bad news! No more Derek Jameson.
Bad news.
Bad news.
The good news, the doctor will see you now, Willie. Really.
Bad news, it's Dr. David Owen.
Good news, he's only looking for new members.
Bad news, he's putting rubber gloves on.
That was fun. Let's do another one. Tim, you can start this time with some good news, please.
Good news. The Berlin Wall has come down. Good news?
Bad news if you're a Berlin Wall shrew.
Good news. East Berliners are pouring through the Brandenburg Gate.
Bad news. Trampling over the wall shrews.
Good news, the wall shrews make excellent false moustaches.
Bad news, they make rotten cars.
Good news, they're still better than Skoda.
And let's do another one now. Graham, you can start this one. Good news, please.
Thank you. Good news, they found a cure for mad cow disease.
Bad news, so there will be another series of That's Life.
Good news, Esther Ranson won't be in it.
Bad news, she'll be doing Hearts of Gold nightly.
But the good news is she's having her teeth reduced.
That's bad news for millions of tooth shrews.
That's enough of that.
That's quite enough.
Okay, at this point in the proceedings, I tell the teams the name of the ball, the arrivals of which they'll be announcing at the end of the program. So, teams, will you set your minds on the chef's ball? The chef's ball. Now we have a very funny game. Deans, I'm going to play you some brief excerpts of famous people speaking, and will you please finish their sentences for them? Willie Rushton, here's your speech coming up. It's by Ken Dodd.
Sometimes people say, where is the hardest audience in the world? The hardest audience in the world?
Well, the ones that come in dark suits and knock you up at 3 a.m. It's vatifilarious.
That's if the doorbell isn't working.
Bloody French doorbells.
You can't get the wood.
Right, Graham. Here's your speech, Graham, and it's Ken Dodd again.
Secret of happiness is to create something.
And then hide it under the mattress.
Tim, your speech is by Dolly Parton.
I've always dreamed of meeting the Queen. And I've had a lot of people ask me what it was like. And she said several words to me.
She said, pray introduce me to these two bald-headed men. Dolly?
She's gone Australian now.
Barry Cryer, your speaker is Esther Ransom.
Two-thirds of me is, I think, wildly extrovert.
And the other third is teeth.
Shall we play another round of that, teams? Yes,
oh,
why not?
Yeah.
Willie, here's a speech by Geoffrey Archer for you to complete. Oh.
There is no such thing as government money. There is the money you earn, the money I earn.
And the vast difference between them.
Graham Garden, yours is Geoffrey Archer again.
The secret for a person wanting to start a career in writing is first get an agent.
And then get him to do the writing for you.
Tim, here's a speech by Margaret Thatcher.
God bless her.
I mean, I don't think any woman in power or any woman in life will really have a happy life unless she's got
a millionaire husband.
That's actually...
A millionaire husband? Yeah, that's it.
That's actually correct. Mm.
Yeah.
Barry! Barry, will you finish this speech, please? Zsa Zsa Gabor, to speak.
I love it. I love, actually, everything was beautiful. I like a beautiful woman, a beautiful man.
A beautiful football team. Norman Tabernacle Choir.
Right. This is a game called... Oh, you want to know the score, don't you? This is a game called Paranoia. One team is suffering from a grand delusion, but they don't know what it is, while we and the other two do. They should ask questions in order to find out. The audience can indicate when they're getting warm by removing their jackets. Tim and Willie, will you question Barry and Graham about your problem, which is going up now on the laser scoreboard? And here for you at home is the mystery voice.
They think they're Jason Donovan. They think they're Jason Donovan.
Right. Tim and Willie, now, will you start questioning Barry and Graham about your problem?
How long have we had this worry?
Not that long.
Not long, no.
No.
A year or so. Is it the last time we did this program? Is it the last time we were funny?
Well, I don't think funny comes into it at all, really. That's a matter of opinion.
Deeply serious folk. Are they we're after?
Deeply serious, yes. I wouldn't say wooden. I wouldn't have said wooden. I wouldn't have said they. No.
We think we're the wooden tops.
That's just a vicious rumour.
We think we're steer off the plural. We think we're somebody.
Oh, there you go.
We think we're Archie Andrews.
One. You're getting very warm.
We think we're Peter Brough.
No, you've gone old again.
Well, one person, are we?
Yes?
Yes.
And it's a wooden person.
Lord Charles.
Rupert Murdoch.
Oh, now you are getting warm in a funny way.
In a funny sort of way, you're getting, in a spooky little way, you're getting warm. We think we're stuffed effigies of Barry Humphreys.
That's awfully warm, but it's not right.
I forgot to tell you again that you have only 30 seconds.
You had only 30 seconds, yeah.
We're something wooden and Australian. Yeah.
Hence the nickname
Jason
Boomerang.
Donovan.
Yes. Oh.
Well done, Tim. You got that one. Jason, they think they're Jason Donovan. You thought you were Jason. Oh, well, forget it. Barry and Graham. Barry and Graham, now, you're going to question Tim and Willie about your problem. Here it is going up on the laser scoreboard. And here's the mystery voice to tell you it happened.
They think the King Singers want to kill them. They think the King Singers want to kill them.
Okay. Barry and Graham, start questioning now.
Is this a condition?
It is a condition, but yes. It's something you shouldn't really worry too much about, because I... Absolutely not.
But... Are we afraid of something?
Yes.
Yes. Oh. We're afraid of being thought something.
No.
We're afraid of Jason Donovan.
Yes, but that's got nothing to do with this rug. I mean, this may... across one of their minds, but I can't believe they all really secretly want to do whatever it is they want to do to you. Actually, it couldn't be further from Jason Donovan, because this is about singers.
We think we're a group of singers. Or we're frightened of becoming a group of singers.
No, we're frightened of what singers will do to us.
Yeah. We're frightened of being sung at by somebody.
No.
No.
No, it'd be lovely to be sung at.
Do Bananarama enter into this?
I wish they would. But... Well,
this is a group of singers.
Yeah.
Like the King's Singers.
Oh!
We're afraid of what the King's Singers might do to us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And do we have to nominate? What is it?
Yes. What's the most terminal thing they could do to you?
What, after they'd killed us, you mean? We're afraid that we're on the King Singers hit list.
Yes. Oh, look out! They're the King Singers!
Very good. Give them another round of applause. Now we come to a radio adaptation of the popular TV program Blind Date. But we're going to play... We're going to play the Italian version, Venetian Blind Date. Thank you very much. This week's lucky contestant is Tim, who's a stockbroker. Sorry, I misread that. He's a stickbreaker. Hiding behind the screen are three likely lads, one of whom will be chosen by Tim to accompany him on a romantic weekend break, which explains why they're hiding. Now, owning up time, we couldn't afford a screen... So, Tim, will you close your eyes, please?
Number one.
Yes.
Do you believe in love at first sight?
Not if it keeps the vicar waiting.
I see. Number two. Do you practice safe sex?
Yes. Oh, unless there's someone else in the room.
Oh, I'm pleased about that, Barry. Oh, number two. Number three. Do you go all the way on the first date?
I once went halfway on a second banana.
Now, you've got to make your big decision, Tim.
Well, number one, it was very amusing about the vicar. Number two, I like a cheerful little voice and sort of a feeling of grey hair. Number three, banana, I like that. I'll go for number four. That means I can go on
right,
my own.
Now, let me show you what you've missed. Number one.
Oh. Oh, bless you.
Number two.
Oh, what a lovely
number three.
Oh.
Oh, what a Colin show. Sell. Now, on the last show, of course, Graham and his chosen partner won a weekend in Benidorm. And he's come back this week to tell us how he got on. Tell us, Graham, how did you get on? Was it a Laura fan?
Well, it's...
Uncanny.
It started all right. I mean, she was quite attractive and that, but, well, when she started on the plane, it got a bit embarrassing, you know, running up and down the aisle and trying to pull the pilot. And we got there first day on the beach, you know, she buried the courier, and then in the evening in the nightclub, you know, all jumping about with her knickers on her head and all that sort of thing, hammering on my door at 4 o'clock in the morning, and it was, in the end, really embarrassing.
Oh, I say. Mm. Well, next week, Princess Michael of Kent will tell us her side of the story. Well done, teams. You're all scoring points in all directions. I tell you what, teams, we're going to play the game now, which is wittily called One Song to the Tune of Another, in which the teams will attempt to sing one song to the tune of another. They'll be supported as usual... They'll be supported, as usual, by the Colin Sell Big Sound. Willie, I'm going to ask you to sing the words of memory to the tune of I Got Rhythm.
Midnight, not a sound from the pavement. Has the moon lost her memory? She's body alone. In the lamplight, the weathered leaves collect at my feet, and the wind begins to moan. Every street lamp seems to beat a fatalistic warning. Someone mutters, and a street lamp gutters, and soon it will be morning. Daylight, I must wait for the sunrise. I must think of a new life.
Barry Cryer, will you sing the words of You're Getting to Be a Habit with Me to the tune of the William Tell Overture, please?
Every kiss, every hug seems to bang just like a drug. You're getting to be a habit with me. Let me stay in your arms, I'm addicted to your charms. You're getting to be a habit with me. I used to think your love was something that I could take or leave alone. But now I couldn't do without my supply. I need you for my own. Oh, I can't break away. I must have you every day as regularly as cup your tea. You've got me in your clutches and I can't get free. You're getting to be a habit with me. You're getting to be a habit with me. Every kiss, every hug seems to match like a drug. You're getting to be a habit with me. Let me stay in your arms. Nurse, I'm addicted to
Well, you're in the lead so far. You're in the lead so far. But, Tim, now you've got a lot of work to do. I want you to sing the words of AC/DC to the tune of Dance of the Hours.
AC/DC, it's okay by me. I can switch and change my frequency. I'm electric light, oh, you touch me. I can shock you, I can set you on fire.
Jolly good. Graham, sing the words of A Life on the Ocean Wave to the tune of La Donna e Mobile.
A life on the ocean wave, a home on the rolling deep, where the scattered waters rave and the winds their revels keep. A home on the rolling deep, where the scattered waters rave and the winds their revels keep. Like an eagle caged I pine on this dull unchanging shore. Oh, give me the flashing brine, the spray and the tempest roar. A life on the ocean wave. That's enough of that.
Colin, will you stop as soon as the singers stop, please? Because we're running terribly over time.
Yes.
Preferably
who won that?
Before
we start.
Now we're going on to a game called Alternative Records. I'm going to give the teams a list of statistics taken from Mike Barwell's Alternative Book of Records. Teams must guess what these statistics represent. Willie, here's one for you. 9.5 inches.
This is Pamela Bordese's attention span.
How do you know?
Yes.
It was in the song.
The alternative to the alternative is that it's the, in fact, the smallest snooker cue ever. True.
Good Lord.
Absolutely
well,
true. Amazing. Oh, sorry.
You mean they Barry. Couldn't? You mean they couldn't make one smaller?
Not much of an
How
achievement.
Am I, to know? I never take any interest in snooker whatsoever. Snooker's asking me about snooker.
Oh,
fancy bringing up snooker. We're trying to play games. Sensible games, and the older guy can talk about is snooker.
Well, it's a sensible game.
I know
Hump.
What you mean, Hump.
Tim.
Sorry.
Here's yours.
Yes.
100,000 Bibles.
That's the amount of Bibles Richard Nixon was required to swear on before anyone would believe a word of what he said.
Actually, you'll find 100,000 Bibles in room 714 at the Mecca Hilton due to an appalling cock-up at the Gideon Society HQ.
Pretty good, but the actual answer is it's the most books ever consigned by air freight sent by the Bible Society to Uganda in 1982.
Of course, the Kampala Hilton. That's what it'll be.
I like this game. I get all the best lines. Graham. 18 feet.
18 feet. That's the height of the record Sellafield Whippet.
Which has got 18 feet, incidentally.
The actual answer is it's the furthest a grape has been thrown and caught in the mouth.
Back to Pamela again.
Yes.
As the man said when he... Oh, no.
You say a great.
A great. A great. Great. Willie, 714 times in one day.
This is a reference to the sexual activity of the Berlin Wall Shrew.
Actually, it's the number of vasectomies undertaken by the men of Thailand on the 8th of February, 1983, to celebrate the 55th birthday of their monarch, King Bhumibol.
Is this a press cutting?
He's a good alto sax player, King Bhumibol. You know. Barry, £1.17.05.
Christine Keeler's take on the first day. That's for the older time, viewers.
Last time Barry paid for a ride.
Oh! Oh!
That'd be the true.
Very unkind. How did you know the true answer? No, the actual answer is it's the most money ever found in someone's stomach. It was on the 5th of January, 1958, a Durham man complaining of stomach cramps was found to have a total of 366 halfpennies, 11 pennies, 17 threepenny bits, 26 sixpences, and 4 shillings in his stomach.
But Ken Dodd is now responding to treatment.
Tim, here's one for you. 17 miles, 342 yards.
Means you're still within spitting distance of Jerry Jameson. Is it?
It does, yes.
Oh.
No, it's the longest line of leapfrogging ever played.
Your Honour.
Amazing. Graham, here's one for you. 4,000 feet in the air.
4,000 feet in the air. That's the achievement of the abattoir of the year, representing 1,000 cows.
That could be two Berlin Wall millipedes on their back.
Or the largest synchronized swimming team in the world.
4,000 feet in the air is the nearest Clement Freud ever got to the Mile High Club.
Actually, the answer is it's the greatest height from which a piano player has been dropped from a hot air balloon. No. That's just wishful thinking. It's the greatest. The greatest height at which a piano has been played in a hot air balloon. Not many people heard it. Okay. Now, it's nearly the end of the show, so while Samantha and I go and have a lie down to stretch our legs, I'd like the team to announce the late arrivals at the chef's ball, please, team.
Will you welcome, please, the Ring Packs and their economical daughter, Catering Pack.
No chef's ball would be complete without Mr. and Mrs. Cobain and their son, Harry Cobain.
Bless him. Nice to see him back.
The family Brule.
Ah.
With their son, Graham.
And Pate Brule.
Well, sorry, you do it. Oh, slowly do it. Oh, Barney. Graham Brule. That's it. Oh, dear.
Defont.
I've been trying to cut this bit for years. You know that. You know I hate the ball. It's like snooker.
The cabaret continues with the Sorbet City Rollers. You've been overdoing it. They're more like the Obesity Rollers. That's that, really.
And from up north, will you welcome, please, Mr. and Mrs. Rotput. And their tall, retiring son, Lanky Shy Rotput.
Yes.
Coming through the door now, and they'll regret it. The Young Farsies. Their son, Ron. Ron Young. Oh. Oh. Is there nobody here who speaks another? Are you ready for Europe? 1992 is going to come as a terrible shock to you lot.
They've come with pâté de foie gras. Also, three of the chef's nightmares. That's malnutrition, anorexia, and dietitian. Thank you.
The cabaret continues. Will you put your hands together over your ears if you so wish?
As the man said. Good or, trick if you can do it.
I think that's
or
a much better
Ronnie game. Courgette, who will be juggling omelettes. Whoops, there's egg on Ronnie.
Fair enough.
Will you welcome from Italy, please? Part of Europe, so you must be nice to them. That well-known Italian Scot, Mac Aroni, with his antipasta and his French hors d'oeuvre. A minestrone.
And from Greece, will you welcome Peter Bread and Donna Kebab?
I thought hors d'oeuvre were ladies who hung around diesel pumps. Now.
You welcome Mr. and Mrs. Purviday and their daughter Sue Purviday.
And will you welcome, please... Will you welcome Mr. and Mrs. O'Nuts? And their drunken son, Pistachio O'Nuts.
Right. Well, that's it now. We've come to the end of the program, and I hope you'll join us again next week. Until then, from all of us, goodbye.
Barry Cryer, Graham Garden, Willie Rushton and Tim Brooke-Taylor were being given silly things to do by Humphrey Littleton, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The program was produced by Joan Magnusson.